"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com today.
The John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Chapo. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
No matter where you are, take us.
In Russia, there are people secretly hiding in basements listening to the iHeartRadio app. Out the truth about all the horrible things that Putin did. Putin is a bad man.
Can we start an uprising?
Huh? We should try. I mean, we're good at that.
An overthrow? A coup?
Heads
regime
on a stick.
Regime change? Heads on a stick, right?
Heads on a stick.
What's that in Russian?
I don't know.
What's it in Polish? You don't know that either.
No, I don't.
No, I know. You only know like five Polish words, was it?
Each spotch.
What is that?
Go to sleep.
Oh, well.
That's what my dad yelled at me every night.
That's what each most spotch, parents yell at
each
kids.
Each spotch. Yeah.
Sounds like it's I'm telling you to eat something. Eat spotch.
Eat spotch. I don't have any spotch. What is it? What's the...
Golova Napalki.
That's heads on a stick?
Head on a stick in Russian.
Ah, Golova Napalki.
Where'd you get that from, Eric?
Google Translate.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Golova Napalki. Golova Napalki.
All right. There you go.
That's a good chant.
Before we know it, there'll be a mob outside the Kremlin.
That'll scare them.
Golova Napalki? Was that what it was?
Golova Napalki. Yeah. Heads on a stick.
Well, we can bring the movement international, although it's been 10 years since we did Heads on a Stick, I think, at least, hasn't it? That was back in the Schwarzenegger.
It's time to revive it. Every 10 years, you got to start getting out your sticks.
So what we're going to bring to you now is it's a pretty good story. BoulevardSentinel.com. It's titled, "Big Hopes for Tiny Homes, But the Reality on the Ground," quote, "It's messy." Two reporters by the name of Joel Sapel and Dominic Massimino spent some time on this story, but the perspective is somewhat neutral, but of course they do what a lot of media writers do. They have to start with what I call the angel. And the story starts with Maria Elena Ramirez. She's wearing surgical gloves. She's picking up syringes around her Eagle Rock encampment. She's sort of like the mom of the encampment in Eagle Rock, pestering her encampment neighbors to get vaccinated, to be tested for COVID. She wants them to be responsive to outreach workers trying to improve the quality of their lives. And then we find out, there she is standing outside the tent she shares with her reclusive partner of 33 years. Now, I'm not saying they've been homeless 33 years, but she says about him, he's rarely out, but I'm everywhere.
Well, what's he doing?
He just hangs out in the tent all day.
You've been with the guy 33 years? Boy, this lady's got a low bar.
Not a lot of ambition, though.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine holding on to your wife for 33 years and you just spend your days laying in a tent?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a wife. They just say partner.
Same thing. I mean,
common law.
After 33 years? Yeah. If they separate, what's she going to claim?
So they're going to move into a tiny home village, a 48-unit interim housing site on a former parking lot on Figueroa across from the Eagle Rock Recreation Center. That's coming up in just, this article's written last week, but I think March 29th was the move-in day. But the story then goes on to explain what people are expecting and what has so far been experienced. Already in just more than a year, nearly 700 of the 8x8-foot homes have been erected, with more in the works. The largest tiny home village in the nation opened in early November in neighboring Highland Park. 117 units tucked into a park along the Pasadena Freeway.
Oh, this is
freeway.
What Kevin DeLeon was bragging about during the debate.
Yes.
That this was one of the largest tiny home villages in the whole country.
Right. The first quote you get about the tiny homes is from an activist who hosts a podcast, We the Unhoused. He says about them, it's a dog kennel. It's not a house. I call them tiny sheds. Now you're going to get what's coming in a lot of the story. There's already a revolt about these things. They're inhumane.
That's an a-hole. See, that's a guy I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear about your stupid podcast. I don't want to hear your points of view, because you get 64 square feet, and each unit has two beds, four windows, an air conditioner, a heater, and a locked door.
Yep, you share a hygiene trailer, which has private toilets and a shower. You're served three meals a day at outside tables.
Okay.
You can have pets.
This is...
And there's on-site laundry.
This is better than a lot of college dorms.
Oh, yes.
My son had
I didn't have my own room unless I did my senior year, but I paid more.
One of my sons was in a dorm room that he shared with two other people. It was cramped as hell. And there was a community bathroom at the end of the hall, and he had to walk to another building to get fed. So this is a better space than even when you go to a high-end university.
But here comes a freshman. You can only bring two large trash bags of belongings, 60 gallons. Whoa. No drugs, no alcohol, no weapons. Residents have to place banned items in so-called amnesty lockers, which they alone can access outside the secured grounds.
Their guns? Wait,
it doesn't say banned items.
This We the Unhoused podcaster, is he complaining about that? That people have to check their guns in the amnesty locker?
Or
is that a problem too?
Their drugs.
Or their needles, their syringes, their heroin supply, their meth, their crack pipes. I'm so sick of these jerks. I'm so fed up with these idiots. I'm so fed up with the media interviewing these people and presenting their point of view as if it's the other side. It's not another side. It's insanity. Yeah, it's the other side of sanity. For God's sakes, you get a free little home, and I don't want to hear anybody bitching about that. No complaints. In fact, first complaint, you should get thrown out into the street.
Now, the reporters spent 3 weeks interviewing village residents, and there's another site that opened up. It's called Arroyo Seco. And it did house between 97 and 127 people at any time from November through February. But listen to this. During that span, 64 people left the facility. Some voluntarily self-exited. Others did not.
Voluntarily
there were threats or acts of violence or hospitalizations. Higher level of care was needed. That's why they left. That's a large attrition number.
Well, because they're crazy people. And just because you put a crazy person inside a little home doesn't cure all the damage in his brain. All right, he's either got severe mental illness or he's got terrible drug addiction. Putting him in a tiny home or a big home doesn't make a difference. It's the same brain. There's a reason he's out on the street. Again, there's 11 million job openings out there. If he was normal, he'd take one of those jobs and then go get a real home. I mean, like this woman with the guy, 33 years together, and they're sitting in a tent. Like, what? And he never comes out of the tent. What drug is he on? Oh, they didn't stick their head in the tent, these two stupid reporters, to see why he lays in the tent all day.
While many say they're grateful for the sense of safety and security, others feel marginalized. They complain of being disrespected, misunderstood by staff members who have not experienced the trauma of homelessness.
You know what? No, yeah, I'm not interested. You're disrespected. What do you want? You're getting a free home. I'm not being treated right. Oh, Jesus, shut up.
A lot of it has to do with the rules. What I'm trying to point out is here, this is the levels of problem we're in. First, the idea was just, you know, get him in a tent or get him in like a homeless shelter. And that got rejected, especially with COVID, right? COVID started this. That's when they went with Project Roomkey. And that's why they came up with the tiny homes, because now, you know, you have your own little tiny shelter to live in. So you're not going to be exposed to COVID from the other.
So this is where we stop. We did everything we could. We gave them five different options along the way. They said no to everything, or they trashed it, or they couldn't stop their drugs and alcohol. They got this problem, that problem. They got all kinds of, okay, that's it. We're done. Go walk down the street and keep walking. And if we find you camping in a public space, we're going to make you move along to the next town and the next town. You're done. No more for you. No more.
What we find out over and over again is a rebellion against the rules. Apparently, this is run by a charity called Hope of the Valley.
How about, there's no hope of the valley. Okay, you can't fix these people. You're never going to. But it's a lucrative business to be in. To be a homeless advocate pays a lot of money, because you get a lot of government funding, you get a lot of donations from foolish people, and you can make a six-figure salary. And then you can show up at meetings and read your scripted incendiary speeches, making demands, and you get some FaceTime on television. The media treats you as the other side, and you live another day, right, with your scam. And the whole homeless thing is nothing but one endless scam. They're never going to fix these people. You can't help them. You can't please them. You're just sucking all our money away.
All right, when we come back, an update on, the Venice homeless situation next.
John and Ken Show, KFIG. John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I will get to Russia-Ukraine news coming up after 3:30. One of the lead stories is that it looks like, according to our intelligence reports, we know how much.
Yeah, our intelligence reports.
That Putin may have been misled by his own military leaders about what's going on in Ukraine. We now turn in the homeless situation in Southern California. NBC4 reporter John Caddy's Klimak did an update, and a couple of media outlets have been going back every month or two on the situation at the Venice Boardwalk. And we'll listen to this story, and it looks like what I appreciate about it, I think, it's only talking about Sheriff Villanueva doing something about the vagrants there and not giving that dopey Bonin any credit. Let's listen in.
Venice Beach, California. The music is back. The social media influencers are back. There's tennis being played in the tennis courts and handball in the handball courts. The boardwalk is very different today to what it was in July, when an estimated 260 people called the streets home.
They're not allowed to have tents anymore.
And they're being enforced.
Yes, correct.
Paula Ruiz owns Amor Amor Hat Shop on the boardwalk. She says tourists and even locals have finally come back.
Our customers feel like safe, and they're very happy. They come here and they enjoy the beach, and they're very happy. You can see their smile. They go, yay, it's clean.
Back in late June, early July, we showed you how L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva sent his homeless outreach team in a promise to clear the boardwalk within weeks. It took longer than anticipated, but with the help of the St. Joseph Center and concerted effort from the local councilman's office, this is what Venice Beach looks like now.
It's very, very beautiful.
Some tourists, like this family from Memphis, say they had no idea what used to be here.
But I like the atmosphere, and, you know, everybody's free here.
Oh, Oh, I love Venice.
Others say they're floored by the unexpected change.
I couldn't believe it. I thought it was still quite full of homeless here.
And yet some Venice residents say it's a different view come nightfall.
They stop short.
Mark Rayovac is president of the Venice Stakeholders Association and says the boardwalk still sees upwards of 90 people living there through the night.
And because they stop short, because there's not enough enforcement at night, we've seen a lot of people come back.
And what's growing now are the encampments away from the boardwalk, lines of RVs just a block inland, and this, Centennial Park, which sits in the median of Venice Boulevard.
We've gone from having a couple of tents to having over 45 tents.
Says we now have a bike chop shop operation with stolen bikes being changed out so they're not identifiable anymore. That's the updated story from Channel 4, John Kennedy's CLIMAC, on the situation in Venice. As you could see, it was largely positive. Mark Rayovac, who's been on our show many times before, said, and I don't think this is the worst thing, but obviously it could be better, people are still coming and camping out at night. So that's not as dangerous a situation when you want to visit the beach, because most people don't spend time on the boardwalk in Venice in the overnight hours. So it sounds like some of these people are at least picking up.
Right, because the police are enforcing the rule.
Yeah.
I mean, technically on the books.
I would say it's mostly a win, but clearly it's not a complete end to the homeless vagrant problem in Venice.
But considering what it was on the boardwalk.
Oh, those videos from last summer, 260 people completely blocking the boardwalk, all camped along it.
It also showed you that this could have been done a long time ago, and this could be done everywhere. It works. It's not that hard to do. When they finally decide to clear a place, they do it in a day, in a matter of hours. So if you have an encampment, never accept any excuses. If they want to do it, it'll be done. It'd be done in hours. If it's still there, it's because they don't want to do it. They'd rather indulge the drug addicts and the mental patients.
And let's never forget why this happened, because Villanueva went in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pushed the boneheaded Bonin, and he's only mentioned here in this report as a concerted effort from the local councilman's office. I like that. That's kind of a diss.
And if you want life to get better, you reelect Villanueva as the LA County Sheriff. He's up for re-election this year.
Oh, they're coming after him.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, no. The LA Times is doing a smear job. They're rubbing their feces. Times feces.
And there's some
every
progressive
day.
Candidate running against him. I think it's another Gascon acolyte.
You just look at Venice Boardwalk, and you look. I look at in front of the VA in near my neighborhood, and he cleaned that up, and nobody's come back. And so Villanueva wins. He took action, and he solved problems in various neighborhoods.
I got to tell you the big one, though, and I drove past there just the other day, the Bologna Wetlands. Holy mackerel.
I drove past there the other day, too.
Just, when you look over there, you think, is there some event going on? RVs and like vans and little buses.
God.
And it's all vagrants, and they're crapping in the wetlands.
And that's Bonin Land.
Bonin Land
them foul up the wetlands.
That's why we need the sheriff to go in there with the same thing he did in Venice. It's tougher, though, to move people in vehicles away, because at least they're going to say, I'm living inside here. I'm not living on the beach.
Yeah, they can be impounded, you know? They can be towed.
Well, they need to do something.
Yeah, that's disgusting. That is so disgusting. It angers me, too, because that Bologna Wetlands is not only beautiful, it's a bird sanctuary. It's a sanctuary for a lot of species.
And there's like a trail
species.
In there. Isn't there like a path or a trail? It looks like I see people sometimes
There's
walk
walking
there.
And biking trails. Yeah, we used to bike there until there were too many homeless people. And I didn't want somebody to put a stick in my spokes. Because it's an outdoor mental institution now. And I can't imagine what's happening with all their waste, all their fecal waste.
When people that I know from other parts of the country ask me, if the homeless situation comes up, and I said, it's tolerated. And the problem is we have people that, they may have drug and alcohol and mental health addiction problems, but they can't afford to live. So instead they just live outside on the street or in the camp or in the park, I should say.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they look at me like, it wouldn't happen where I live. Nobody does that.
Yeah. Nobody does. No. In most other states and most other cities, there's none of this. There's none of this. This is just the insanity of the progressive sicko cult. That's it. It's like a weird cult took over our politics, and they have to be removed.
All right. Coming up next, your Ukraine-Russia update. A couple of interesting stories making the news today.
John and Ken Show. John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, for those who vitally care about this story, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences said today that Will Smith was actually asked to leave Sunday's Oscars after slapping Chris Rock, but refused. Some have questioned why Smith was allowed to remain seated in the front row after the incident. The Academy suggested it attempted to remove him from the audience.
So where's security to force the issue?
Things unfolded in a way we could not have anticipated, the Academy said. But we'd like to clarify that Mr. Smith was asked to leave the ceremony and refused. We recognize we could have handled the situation differently.
Do you believe that? Because when somebody is ordered to leave and they don't, you get the goodbye. You get the security with the weapon in the pocket.
They didn't want a bigger scene, I guess, with this big broadcast. If he had started fighting all the guards.
They didn't want a bigger scene?
It would have been like an action movie.
He already said Chris Rock sprawling. They didn't want a bigger scene.
Well, they didn't want anything else to happen.
You know, how many football games you've been to? And when fights break out, what happens? Security takes the...
Eventually.
Yeah, right. Eventually they come and they haul you out. Guy runs on a out in the outfield, a Dodger game, he's taken out. He's beaten somewhere in the bowels of the stands. That's a load of horse crap.
We did ask him
to leave. Yeah, we really did. And it took him, what is today, Wednesday? It took him 3 days to come up with that? 3 days? Oh, no, really? We asked him to leave. Get out of here. You either make him leave or you don't. Or did you whisper it to his publicist and the publicist said, well, I think they want you to go. I'm not going. Well, they really want you to go. No. Oh, okay. I didn't make you mad, did I? I mean,
it was a soft request.
You're an actor, so you're really important. You get to beat people up because you act for a living. They're so full of crap. I hate all these people. Good Lord.
The big story today in the Russia-Ukraine situation is an Associated Press story that U.S. intelligence officials have determined that Vladimir Putin is being misinformed by his advisors about his military's poor performance in Ukraine. A lot of them are just scared to tell him the truth, according to our intel reports. You know, when somebody is a monster and in charge, nobody wants to deliver the bad news and get their head chopped off.
Okay, but he doesn't have the curiosity to watch.
He doesn't follow international news to know that what's being reported is it's not going well.
He
just counts on his insular advisors to tell him, yes, Vladimir, it's great, it's great, we're winning.
Does that make
sense? Any day now, you'll be there making a speech.
That doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe that. And our intelligence services stink.
Questionable? Yeah.
They stink. They're bad. They've been wrong on almost every major issue for, 25 years? But I don't know how the hell they would know this, but it seems inconceivable that a guy starts a war and doesn't turn on CNN or the BBC to at least see how the rest of the world is covering it, right? I mean, you know your side is pushing propaganda, right? Because you're ordering the propaganda. You're telling them what to do. So you want to know, well, what does the rest of the world think? Because that's going to affect the war. I mean, suddenly you're going to be dealing with lots of weaponry that America has paid for, that NATO has paid for. Well, so you need to know, what do they think? What's the coverage? What's influencing Biden? What's influencing the British or the German prime minister? I don't believe that.
They also believe he's also being misled about how much the sanctions are crippling the Russian economy. They're also concealing that kind of truth from him.
I don't know. I just don't believe he doesn't know what's going on in the battlefield.
Well, some say he does have an idea and it's caused tension between himself and his top military advisors.
He knows the war isn't over, and it was supposed to be over in 3 days, so he knows it's in its fifth week. So what's he talking about? I mean, if it's supposed to be 3 days, and it's now, it's been now over a month, it's 10 times as long as he planned.
Now, about the reports that came out yesterday that Russia may loosen its grip on trying to take the capital of Kyiv from the Ukrainians and maybe concentrate in other parts of the country like the eastern and southern parts. There are also reports that if it looks like Russians are withdrawing, they're actually going back to resupply and reorganize. And they may come back ready to fight again. So that's another interpretation of what's going on.
This could go on for months and months and years. He doesn't ever have to give up. Ukraine doesn't have enough firepower to chase them out completely, and he doesn't have the goods to completely suppress Ukraine.
Right.
I mean, unless NATO gets involved and they're not, or we get involved and we're not directly with our troops and our our missiles that we shoot, you could have a stand. Remember the Iran-Iraq War went on for 8 years in the 1980s. 8 years.
Nice.
So.
Well, there's another take that's being put out there that the conventional wisdom that Putin and his troops are being routed in Ukraine could be misleading, because even though it's been a month, they're in this for the long haul. And apparently, the first Chechen war in the mid-1990s, Russia was trying to get a hold of a place called Grozny. And in the early phases of that war, they were wiped out. Chechen fighters wiped out a Russian armored brigade. And it was looking bad for the Russians. So they regrouped. And from afar, they just kept bombing and bombing. They used artillery and air power. And eventually, they got what they wanted. Victory. This could be what they're doing again. They're just going to keep shelling. Like, they've already destroyed one of the port cities there.
Mariupol. Yeah.
Mariupol, right.
No, they could.
Right. I heard a woman say today on the news, I don't think we can go back there even if we win. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And it would have to rebuild everything.
It would take decades to rebuild. Right. It was always a split where the Ukrainian stopped his ground forces. He didn't take Kyiv. He didn't overthrow Zelensky. But he's doing an immense amount of destruction long distance, and that's not hard to do.
Right.
I mean, unless we give an extraordinary amount of weaponry and the Ukrainians can start bombing these missile sites. So, right. I mean, we'd really have to go all in with, 10 times as much weaponry as we've already given them.
There's another belief, too, that he's really just after Ukraine's natural resources. That what he'd really like to capture is more economical than political, because apparently they have immense natural gas reservoirs. It says here, Ukraine's east contains Europe's second largest known reserves of natural gas after Norway. And that could be something he's really after, because people have said that he at least wants to get some territory in Ukraine. If they ever work out any kind of deal, he's going to probably go for the places where he can get the most.
That's the way he's holding Europe hostage right now.
Right.
Because those dumbasses thought they could glide on wind and solar power. And now they're having their rear ends handed to them.
Oh, and did you see the story that, they're in Germany, they're asking people to conserve natural gas because they're worried about the supply from Russia.
Yeah.
And Russia's demanding they pay in rubles.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do that because that would help him get some money through the sanctions. So
Germany listened to these stupid, fanatical green people, and they made the worst decision possible. And now they're in severe danger, because if Russia shuts off their natural gas, they're screwed. And I heard today Angela Merkel had canceled plans to build a natural gas terminal to receive U.S. natural gas. But she caved in to the green fanaticism, and so that was never built.
Nice.
Because we could supply an enormous amount of liquefied natural gas to Europe, but we'd have to actually build a terminal here. She'd have to build a terminal there in Germany. And, the green people said no, and we're afraid of them. Okay, good. Now guess who's in charge? Russia. So go talk to them. But if just a bunch of the most, it's like you let, seventh graders run international foreign policy and energy policy. Like, you let little kids. I mean, so childish, so silly, and now they're really screwed. Now Mr. Madman is running all the energy supply to Europe. He's in charge.
All right, we got more coming up.
But you have your little wind propellers blowing out there in the ocean. Woo, look at all the energy it's creating. Woo, oh, look at that, the wind stopped. Oh, sad face. John and Ken Show.
U.S. and Chinese scientists have implanted human cells into monkey embryos.
An international team of scientists working on a project say that they have discovered strong evidence for the existence of a new force of nature.
The patient accusing the doctor of some bad bedside behavior, and it was all caught on camera.
Science! Doctors started grouping cases together about a brain illness.
The discovery of a potentially new and unknown syndrome is scary.
Scientists are now trying to unlock the secrets of this strange syndrome.
Researchers say they found the skull of what they believe is a new species of human.
Science! It involves an 18-year-old baby-faced kid who's accused of masquerading as a doctor, treating patients out of his own clinic.
The mystery disease is devastating.
We just want to know what it is. They've tested for dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. They even did antibody testing, historical antibody testing.
As we come on the air this evening, the nation has now reached that grim new milestone.
The outbreak of a mystery virus that now has the World Health Organization on edge.
And now, an update from the John and Ken Health and Science Desk. Here's John and Ken.
Grim new milestone. Grim new milestone. Yes, people in the media are required to say grim new milestone.
That was a big one in 2020.
Oh, yes. I was waiting for one time a news anchor start giggling because he'd said grim new milestone for the 10,000th time that year. What a stupid cliche.
Well, the Health and Science Desk is rolled out because a big story that broke today involves a pretty well-known actor who apparently is going to have to step back from acting, and it's Bruce Willis. And the diagnosis is aphasia, which probably a lot of people, when they heard the headline, are not familiar with this. It's a language disorder caused by brain damage that apparently affects a person's ability to communicate. This apparently has been noticed, according to stories, when he's been filming movies lately, according to the New York Post Page Six, on the sets of certain films within the last few months or longer. People who worked on the films with Willis noticed that he was having a lot of problems understanding and communicating. He was using earpieces, some sort of hearing devices, for them to feed him the lines. It was increasingly difficult to have him on screen. One production ended up using a body double at times. According to a source, it was very apparent that he was having problems. They'd use body doubles not just for action sequences, but for maximizing his screen time. He still makes a lot of films. He's 67, so he's not one of those in his prime actors appearing in a lot of action films, but that, of course, was what he was known for. But in more recent years, I'd see him popping up in lesser roles and less action features, but I guess he wanted to continue working. But according to his family and this report today, he has been diagnosed with aphasia.
There's three types. Expressive aphasia, you can understand communication better than you can speak. And comprehensive aphasia, you speak in long, incoherent sentences. That'd be Kamala Harris.
Word salads.
That's right, you get word salads.
Right.
With global aphasia, you have poor comprehension and communication skills. So you don't understand what anyone's saying, and you don't speak very well either.
There was unconfirmed rumors and chatter for actually quite some time. People thought he had some kind of dementia. Back in 2015, the New York Post reported he was wearing an earpiece for a Broadway debut in the stage version of Misery. The response at the time was, well, the script keeps changing and he's just nervous. So he just needed that for support. But there are some that believe that was probably part of this.
Yeah. Probably starts slow and just progresses. And now it's to the point where he can't work anymore. That's too bad. I mean, he's not that old, 67.
Yeah, the main treatment for aphasia is speech and language therapies with involvement from family members, I guess. Yeah. I don't know how that...
Okay.
Is this something that just progresses or can it reverse?
I don't know. I've heard of people having it. And you can get some therapy for it to make it better, I suppose. Right. I guess you have to rewire your brain in a way because there are parts malfunctioning. But right. I'd have to look it up. I don't know if it always goes in one direction. And, you know, what do you think Biden's diagnosis is, if people are being honest?
Well,
I mean, Kamala Harris definitely has that comprehensive word salad, long, incoherent sentences.
Right.
Yeah. She's still in her 50s, and she's making no sense.
Yeah, it says aphasia is outwardly marked by difficulty with speaking and comprehending language conversation. It occurs due to an injury at the brain speech center. Usually a neurological disease, it could be a stroke or a brain tumor or bleeding. It's all confirmed with an MRI or a CT scan. It could look like someone simply using gibberish or can only speak in short spurts. But sometimes it can have highly contained symptoms, just as the inability to recall the names of objects or repeat a word. See, it does sound like dementia, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a number of conditions, and they end up with the same basket of symptoms.
Right.
So people use dementia as an all-purpose description, because very few people are familiar with the word aphasia.
All right, when we return, we're going to be speaking to Todd Bensman, the Center for Immigration Studies. He is a senior national security fellow. He's been on our show before. He's Texas-based. In fact, he spent some time in a certain town in Mexico. And you've got to hear about his reporting on what's coming. The headline is, Mexico could unleash a massive wave of 70,000 migrants towards the U.S. border. Coming up next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. today.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.